Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We switch subjects and finish this edition of The Exchange with a musical interlude, or actually five of them. Tomorrow is First Friday, the day of our First Friday Arts segment, mirroring First Friday art walks in places like Ashland and Grants Pass. We mark the occasion with something like a First Friday Eve. We bring in musician, performer, writer, raconteur, dance master, I don't know, Josh Gross for a segment featuring bands coming to the region. It's called Rogue Sounds. Josh, always good to see you.
Yeah, great to be called a raconteur and dance master.
You know, I want to see the dance master thing.
You really don't. I assure you, Jeffrey, you do not want to see that. But thanks.
It's nice to see the names here because I see one of them is a repeat. We'll get the Bob Log the Third in just a moment, but let's start with the. I just love the names of bands. Summer Colds.
Summer
is a
Colds.
Great name for a band.
Yeah.
And let's get them on.
Everyone's got something growing in them they'd rather not know about. When that growing is knowing is going without again. I would rather go out in a blowout of my doubt again. I'll shout it out. Something's dying in me. I'm trying to see.
Now that is not a piece of hip hop music. But
that is not a piece of. Is that what you were expecting? Or?
No. But I bring this up because the rhyming pattern I think is very. I think there's been an influence of hip hop in this kind of music.
There definitely has. I mean, Summer Cold's songwriter, he has some really interesting rhyming patterns and some sort of lyrical stanzas. I mean, we can talk more about that sort of crossover between punk and hip hop later when we talk about Greaves because he's coming up. But I do want to talk about Summer Cold's because they're a local group and they've, you know, usually don't play local groups unless they've got an album coming out, and their album just came out, and so this is kind of like their album release show that they're going to be doing up at Johnny B's next Wednesday. And man, they've been working on this thing forever. Like, I think I've heard like 7 dummy mixes of this or
really?
Something like that. I just like every time I'd see Nick around town and be like, how's the album go? He's like, oh, you know, it's coming, you know, it's it just kept going back and revisiting it, but it sounds amazing. You know, it really did take the time to like polish and make it great. And the thing I really like about that group, besides the fact that it's just sort of great, like fun, energetic, like rock, in the type of which, you know, sometimes it gets, you don't really see as much anymore because everyone wants to have some sort of spin or a gimmick or thing. And they're just like, no, we got 3 chords and a thing to say. It's just really good songwriting, just really great, like, you know, like chords and melodies. And, you know, and a good, like, 4-on-the-floor beat behind it, you know? So they're a lot of fun.
4-on-the-floor? You're going to have to explain that term to us older folks.
That's a term from the 70s, Jeffrey. Like, how far back do you want me to go?
Well, four on the floor, I know from a car, yeah, but we're talking about...
No, you're talking about 3 on the tree. Oh. And I know what that is, and I'm younger than you, so no. 4 on the floor is just a 4-4 beat, just that...
Oh, okay, okay.
You know, that just sort of basic, you know, rock/disco beat.
I was starting to count drums. It's like, well, that's bass, tom-tom, snare, and hi-hat.
No, it just means you're like, you're counting, it's a 4 count, but you're just doing it into the floor, just boom, boom, boom. And then we just beatbox for the rest of the entire segment. You want to do that?
All right, I do indeed. Here we go. Hi, my name's Jeff.
Oh, my God, I got you to do it. Okay. Mark this day in history, everybody.
Yeah. But, all right, so Summer Cold. So the remix, though, you're talking about this is, it sounds like quite a polishing process. So, I mean, when a band goes back into the studio to do the remixes, are they actually adding tracks or
well, you know, so remix is a tricky term because remix usually means where you're actually like redo like a sort of different version of the song with like, you know, maybe different backing tracks or different chords or, you know, like a lot of
different
stuff. This is more just like tweaking the mix and like sort of just really polishing it, making sure everything's super tight and, you know, going through every sort of like, it's like the equivalent of copy editing, but like with a fine tooth comb because you're going through, you know, like waveforms and digital audio and applying different compression and EQ settings. And, you know, what if we turned this up 3 dB louder? And what if we did this? And what if we just went back and re-recorded 1 word out of the entire thing just because it was like, what if we pitch corrected this thing because it sounds like, you know, like a half a semitone out. And it's just, it's maddening. And if for the sort of perfectionist, it's, you know, it's a very, very deep rabbit hole, which they'll find themselves very, very happy.
Because nobody ever says you're done.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's never done. There's always something to do. There's always something to tweak. There's always, and one of the problems with it is that you can go back every time and you're like, oh, I'd change this. Oh, I'd change this. Mm-hmm. And you know, for a lot of like artists, and this is across all media, every time they see something they've done, because they've sort of grown as a person, they want to then go and change it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like I know a lot of visual artists who will just like every time they see a painting or something that's done, they're like, oh, I got to fix this. Oh, and they're like, no, it was perfect 6 months ago. You've got to stop.
Leave it alone. You're a different person, but that's okay. Yeah. The other person did this one. Yeah.
And, you know, but even then it's like, you know, you'll see bands that'll put out an album and then they'll just, and they'll be like, ah, now I got to redo the whole, they got to remaster it or they got to remix it. Oh, I wish I made the bass a little bit louder. So sometimes you kind of just need to take it out of their hands. I'm glad this one's finally gotten out into the world. I listened to the whole thing on Spotify the other day, a couple times in a row. It's just, it's great. So make sure to catch Summer Colds next week.
Summer Colds, Johnny B's on the 12th of June. That moves us on to CJ Boyd.
CJ Boyd.
Let this one fall down. Let this one fall.
From
tonal shift
from rock studio to beach on a cloudy day, didn't we?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, CJ Boyd is kind of an avant-garde experimental bassist, and he's been on tour since I think 2008, just living in a van, driving around, playing weird shows here and there. And he's gonna come to Oberon's for one night here in Ashland on June 14th. It's next Friday, I think. And it's going to be interesting because it's going to be a nice kind of chill, groovy night. You know, I think he has a guest vocalist here that I'm pretty sure will not be present. But just, you know, I like one of the things that sort of like the modern age of technology has allowed is people who have maybe a proficiency or an interest in one instrument to use that one instrument to fill out the sort of entire sound of a band or an orchestra and in a way that you never could have done beforehand. So you have like, you know, a single violinist, but that single violinist takes up the space the entire sonic range, or, you know, and bass is a really excellent instrument for that because, like, you know, you get that low end, which is an essential part of music.
Yeah, but then it has, you can play really high up the neck.
Yeah. Well, it has these tremendous melodic capacities that oftentimes get, you know, lost in a larger band because its job is just to hold down the low end, you know. And when you sort of get clear away that stuff, you can pitch shift, you can add in effects, you can just, like, let the bass take the lead in a way that, like, you only really saw in some of, like, the really virtuosic jazz players of the, you know, like say the Jaco Pastoruses of the world. And, you know, so looping has allowed some of that to come to the forefront with solo artists, but in ways that are not just, you know, jazz wanking, which I think is pretty cool. So I think CJ Boyd's show is going to be pretty interesting. I'm really excited about it. I've been looking forward to that one for a couple months now.
That's Oberon's on June 14th.
Yeah.
This is Rogue Sounds on the Jefferson Exchange with Josh Gross, our monthly guide for a couple of bands coming to the region. Ra Ra Riot, there's a name I love. Let's hear them.
We had it good for 2 years in the truck until they realized our luck had dried up. So went to the dealership, tore out the seats. I know it's just a sign, but I can't let it free. To a world of sometimes in Southern California.
Tell us about Ra Ra Riot.
It's just groovy, man. I just like it. I don't know what to say. I was just thinking this morning, I was listening back to it, kind of getting ready for this, and I was just thinking, I really like the way they use major keys. And, you know, like, I'm kind of a minor key guy, and maybe this is getting deep into the weeds, but, you know, like, you know, for those who don't know, keys are basically, like, which selection of notes you use to make a scale. And, you know, they're kind of, they generally fall into major and minor, which is kind of like, you could call them happy and sad. Yeah. And, you know, like, I tend to find that minor keys have like more complexity, more sophistication, more sort of like different like directions. You can even kind of have like stuff that sounds happy, but it's in a minor key because it just has like a different sort of range of notes. And major keys tend to sound a bit sort of sappy and melodramatic and kind of just like, you know, and.
And then, of course, you know, you get the jazz guys all going for the seventh, you know.
Yeah, or something, but I just really like the way they use major keys. They use them in this way that just has, like, a nice sort of, it sounds like a sunny day, you know? And it doesn't sound like that in not in, like, a corny, like, way. Just, like, that's, I just feel like that's something I would put on a boombox on a beach and just to hang out, you know? Like, yeah, we're having a barbecue. Don't look at me like that. I'll barbecue wherever I want, you know? Like.
Oh, I see. This is a beach where barbecue because not
sure. Why not? Yeah, it's barbecue in the sand, Jeffrey. It's safe. You don't want to do it in the forest. Come on.
Of course. What about you? Yes.
Yeah.
Ra Ra Riot coming to Brit on June 16th.
Yeah.
Is that part of a show with somebody else?
Yeah, they're opening for Third Eye Blind, who are apparently still a band. So, you know.
Okay,
but you know, you can leave before they play if you want. I'm not going to stop you.
I'll say, so we're not getting a recommendation here for Third Eye Blind. Is that what I'm hearing?
I mean, you could be blind to Third Eye Blind. I feel like it's easier way to go through life, but I'm just throwing shade there. I'm being being a jerk. It's all right.
So rah, rah, right.
I'm sure I apologize to whatever Third Eye Blind fans out there, like angrily writing an email to JPR right now. Going,
oh, look, there's one of the, no. let's move on to Greaves.
Yeah, Greaves.
Scholar, I don't write no books. I don't spend my money on the last girl, honey. She hates my guts. I pay my rent late, so my landlord angry. All this stuff is piling up and trying to hang me.
And as if on cue, there's a minor key.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice sort of descending minor key.
Yeah, I love
full
the
steps
way
down.
He walks down. Yeah,
yeah. So Greaves is a Seattle-based rapper, and he's one that kind of like grew up in the punk scene, and that's why I said we could talk about this a little bit later. And you know, there's a. What's interesting is that, you know, for like a, I think for like the sort of 80s and 90s, the underground, a lot of the underground indie musicians were coming from the punk scene, sort of DIY punk. And somewhere in the mid 2000s, that started to shift over towards hip hop. And some of it, I think, is just hip hop became more accessible. I mean, it became more accessible as a genre. Like, you could hear more of the that it had been around long enough that you could access more of the stuff. But also, like, the equipment to make it became more accessible, and that, you know, you got like samplers and, you know, like simple stuff rather than necessarily having to do the whole like two turntables DJ stuff. And that sort of like spread it out into the world. And you saw a lot of these sort of underground musicians with a sort of punk ethos, that sort of do it yourself, sort of like kind of gritty, kind of like, you know, like throwing a bit of toot in there. And that started to shift out there, and you saw people that had grown up in the punk scene or used to would have like been in punk bands now starting to do hip hop. And he really comes from that world. And what I think is interesting about it is a lot of times you see them perform with live bands in ways that, you know, like a lot of hip hop when it tours live, it's basically like they're like, hey, I got an iPhone, plug it in, here's my beats. You know, sometimes they got a USB drive and a laptop. You know, it depends a lot on who it is, but you know, but ones I tend to gravitate to are somewhere where they've got like actual like either. An actual backup band, or they've got like a someone like doing like loops, or I saw once with someone
so
called
Greaves
the KeyJ
has the keyboards and stuff on stage there.
You know, the last time I saw him, he did this when he was touring with Greaves and Budo. Budo was the multi instrumentalist, and they were a great team. It's been a couple years since I've seen them play, so I don't really know what his live setup is like now. But he's doing the Armory, so I'm assuming he's got a little something behind it. But it's just like a good. Like a good stage performance, and you know, just some gritty stuff to say, you know. And he's on Rhymesayers, which is a great label. You know, if you're into hip hop, I think that's going to be a great show. Okay. If you're not, you'd be like, "What? What is this? Yeah. What is this noise?" The kids are listening to.
Pretty good. You Greaves know? Coming to the historic Ashland.
Give me Third Eye Blind.
June 22nd. Oh, there we go. Third Eye Blind. can't get off that one. and then a fond return to the Jefferson Exchange for Bob Log the Third.
Bob Log.
So jog my memory, is Bob Log the guy with the helmet or
Bob Log is the way, the truth, and the light, Jeffrey. But no, yes, he is the guy with the helmet.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
For the uninitiated, and I do use that word very specifically, Bob Log III is one of the strangest things you'll ever see in your life.
And I love the picture.
Like, on or off the stage. Like, this guy has been touring on his own for years, and he's a one-man sort of, like, dirty blues act. You know, he plays drums with his feet, he plays guitar with his hands, and he sings into a microphone that he's built into a motorcycle helmet that he wears, and he wears an Evel Knievel jumpsuit with it, and then sometimes he stomps on balloons, and sometimes he blows up a raft and makes you carry him around the club while he plays a guitar solo in the blown up raft. I mean, it's a full body surrealist experience, and there are not enough of those, in my opinion. Like, you can go see a band anywhere, you can go see a music anywhere, you can only see Bob Log at a Bob Log show. There is literally nothing else like it, and there never will be again. And when he's gone, that'll be it. The world, you know. So
don't miss it. You're saying.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, like he's his third time back in town because he's had such a great time. I'm just saying, like, I personally believe that, like, the, you know, the goal of creating art or seeing music or something should be something unique. And he whether you like him or dislike him, you'll never see anything else like it. And that's a rare opportunity, and you should definitely take it.
Bob Log the second, third rather.
Bob the third. He's
Johnny
the third
B's
Bob Log.
On July 2nd.
And when Bob Log the third goes, someone takes his helmet and they become Bob Log the fourth. He's already said that's the way it's going to happen. He's going to die on stage. You pick up the helmet and you become Bob Log.
Too good. The cuts came from Summer Cold, CJ Boyd, Rah Rah Riot, Greaves, and Bob Log the third, curated by Josh Gross the Magnificent. Thanks for joining us once again for Rogue Sounds.
Thanks, Jeffrey. I didn't know it was magnificent. You're a nice guy. I don't care what the rest of the hosts say about you.